Baruch Hashem. Baruch Hashem, okay. We're doing Megillat Esther. So where did all the wealth come from? Chashverosh is busy showing everyone his wealth. So we have very interesting midrashim about the wealth that Chashverosh showed. The Medrash tells us there was a man who married off his daughter, and he wanted to make it a very wonderful wedding. So it says like this. Bar Lofiani was marrying off his daughter from Tzipori to Akko. So he wanted it to be a lavish wedding. He lived in Tzipori, and he was marrying off his daughter to someone who lived in Akko. So he set up waiters and little booths along the way from Tzipori to Akko. So that all the guests who came could have wine while they were en route. And he set up lamps of gold along the way so that all the guests would have light along the way. So that's very nice. But by the time they were at the end of the wedding, by the time they were at the wedding meal, he had to sell off those lamps, and all he could feed at the wedding was bowls of beans in black bowls, meaning he had lost all his wealth paying off this wedding, to the point where he literally had to start selling off those lamps. And by the time they were at the wedding, he was already feeding people just plain beans. That's all he could afford. So I think the Medrash is so important, this story. People marry off their kids and they get carried away. They're going to make this lavish wedding. They go into debt so that they'll have this beautiful, beautiful wedding. The Medrash warns us something. It tells us that Achashverosh was unique, that he could make a party for 180 days, and the last day was as impressive as the first day. Most people can't do that. Most people, if they try to do that, they'll lose their wealth. That's what Bar Lofiani had happened to him. So how could Achashverosh afford all that?
Learn from me.
Maybe. That's why the Medrash tells us the name. Maybe. I didn't think of that. Very nice. So where did Achashverosh get his wealth? So Nebuchadnezzar had conquered vast swaths of territory, and he had become very, very wealthy. And he named his son Evil, Fool. Imagine someone naming their son Fool. Now he held that his son was Mored, had rebelled against him. You remember when Evil Merodach was appointed king by the Babylonians because Nebuchadnezzar lost his sanity, so Nebuchadnezzar got very upset at him when he retained his sanity and threw him into the dungeons. So as Nebuchadnezzar was getting old, he said, I'm leaving all this money to the fool, to Evil. So what did he do?
Buried himself.
He hired his men and he said, we're taking ships made of copper, meaning these huge chests of copper, filled them with his wealth, buried them in the Euphrates, and channeled the Euphrates so that it ran directly over them. Now, when Koresh, the Persian king, was fighting to conquer Babylon, so for 2 years, they couldn't win. For 2 years, they had this war against the Babylonians. Evil Merodach had already died. Belshazzar was king. And for 2 years, they couldn't win the war against them. And they lay siege on Babylon, and they couldn't win. And the Babylonians had a party they would celebrate in honor of their idol. And then everyone would get drunk. And that's the story. They're sitting at the party in honor of their idol. And Belshazzar orders this big party, and he drinks 1,000 cups of wine, remember? And he has the vessels of the Beit HaMikdash brought out before him. And Koresh says there's this moat around Babylon where they channeled the Euphrates. So Rabbi Tanhuma is of the opinion that when Nebuchadnezzar hid the wealth, he hid it under the moat. What does it mean that he channeled the Euphrates? He channeled the Euphrates to create a moat around Babylon the city. Remember, there's Babylon the empire and Babylon the city. So around Babylon the city, he had this massive moat that the Euphrates would swirl around. He had this huge canal, and that canal, which was the protection of Babylon. So he figured, so long as the Babylonian empire exists, no one's going to let a king dig out the treasures because it'll endanger the city. So he has this moat built where at the bottom of the moat is all the treasure of Babylon, all the money that he doesn't want his kids to have. Right? Look at that. So he won? Miser of the year, yeah. So what Koresh does is he builds a dam. And he finds a way to channel the Euphrates away. And that night that they're all partying and drunk, he puts down the dam. And the Euphrates starts flowing in the other direction. And then he and his men can attack that night. And that's the night, the riding of the wall. That's the night that they break into Babylon. The gates aren't guarded well. Everyone's drunk. They're in the middle of the party and they get warning that we're being attacked. And they're all drunk and they can't man their posts properly. And so Koresh takes down Babylon. And once he's rechanneled the Euphrates, so then he finds the wealth. The Medrash says, when did he find the wealth of Nebuchadnezzar? On the day that he decided the Jews can go and rebuild the Beit HaMikdash. So the prophet had told him in Isaiah already, it says, I will give you the hidden secrets, the hidden treasures, and that's these treasures that he found. That the day that Koresh said the Jews can go rebuild the Beit HaMikdash and I'm going to support it, that day he found the wealth of Babylon.
And then he gave the permission?
No, seems like first he gave the permission. After he gave the permission, this was like his reward, that he got all these treasures. He still became a bad guy. He still turned back on his word and told the Jews stop, etc. So that's...
Well,
we don't yet know, do we? We don't yet know.